Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
Live, online, streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
DStv channel 856. 92.7 and 106 FM.
We've seen record low levels of interest rates over the last 2 years. They're starting to creep up now as the South African Reserve Bank is having to put in place its interventions, of course, to help with the growth of the economy and most importantly, contain the inflation rate, which is one of its key mandates. Many have bought homes for the first time in the last 2 years because instead of renting, people now have been in a position to afford their first home as a property investment. The question we're asking today, what advice should you get as a first-time buyer when it comes to purchasing a house? And Gavin Mkabela is a property investment strategist, joins me on the line now. Gavin, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa. Thank you so much for having me.
It's lovely to have you on the show. It is exciting, is it not? The prospect of one acquiring their first property. It's almost a sense of you becoming an adult. You know, you're becoming somebody, you could be 50 years old, but if you buy your first property then, it only then feels like you're becoming an adult. And if you are sort of navigating your way through this process for the very first time, there are some pitfalls you need to be aware of. What are some of those?
I think, well, to start off, the first thing that, you know, as a first-time owner or first-time buyer, the first thing is that people need to be able to understand why they're buying that property. So are you buying that property to live in the property, or are you buying that property for investment purposes, meaning that you're going to then rent it out? So obviously those two transactions or the way you'll be buying it are not the same, because the primary one is where now, you know, you'll be living in that property. So the emotions are there. And then investments, this is where you need to see that, you know, you will be able to find tenants. But of course, there's issues around, you know, signing your an OTP, an agreement. Now, people need to be aware that, you know, once you sign the offer to purchase, you know, there are issues that you need to be aware of, meaning that now that is a legal binding contract, you know. So you cannot now decide want to pull out at any time. There are then consequences for that, you know. So it's very important for people to understand that.
All right. So what are we then looking out for in either of the scenarios that you've painted now to make sure that our interests are protected?
Yeah. So I think then, for example, with regards to your OTPs, you know, there are different clauses there that then will be able to bind you, or that we also need to be able to agree between the seller and the buyer. So for example, if we also look at occupation date, so once we then be able to get finance, if one will be financing the property via bank, when do I then occupy the property? Because now if, for example, I occupy the property before it registers, you know, there might be, you know, a rental that is payable if I'm going to move into that particular property. Again, there's also issues around, you know, are you buying an existing property, buying it from Gavin, or are you buying it from the developer? You know, those things are also not the same, because if you're buying from Gavin, you know, it's an existing property, then it's just a matter of the property is already there. Then it's just a matter of when does it register. But if it's still a new development, then the development still needs to be completed. And all of those aspects will kick in to say, all right, when do I also, you know, pay in the rentals once it's complete or when it registers?
What about scenarios where you are purchasing an existing home that has people renting who are refusing to leave that home?
Yeah, so that one then becomes a problem. And I think especially when, this also happens in issues where, you know, we buy in auctions, we buy from deceased estates. Now, you know, of course, you know, when you buy the property and you don't do, you know, your homework, and that happens and the property registers, it becomes your, you know, your baby. Unless, of course, when you now have seen that, of course, there's a tenant there, and then you guys then you come to an agreement with the seller to say that, you know, maybe registration is subject to you, you know, or the seller kicking out the tenant or whatever the issues may be. But if it registers and then you take now registration of that property, it becomes a problem. And I think that's where there's a lot of people right now sitting with properties that, you know, they bought and they can't move into those properties because, you know, tenants refuse to vacate the premises, and that then becomes an issue because it becomes your problem as the buyer.
And just to be clear, if you are the buyer and the legal processes have concluded, you would still be liable for the monthly payment of your bond on that property, even though you are not enjoying use of that property as yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is why I say, you know, there is a lot of people right now that are paying, you know, for bonds, they are paying for the rates and taxes, you know, while people are occupying the space. And it also becomes an issue if you look at as well when we look at townships, where now communities also become involved, you know, so meaning that you now want to, you know, evict the people that are occupying that property, but now the community comes in and say, look, you cannot do that. And it becomes very difficult to be able to, you know, to get them out because now the community is there. So it's absolutely imperative that people, you know, do their research beforehand so that they don't find themselves in trouble.
All right, Gavin, we'll hold it there. Thank you very much. Gavin Kabela, property investment strategist, on some advice on what to look out for should you be a first-time property buyer.